Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the Epistle for Holy Thursday or Maundy Thursday. St. Paul writes, "In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" This is God's word. I don't know how many of you followed our midweek Lenten series, and don't worry, you don't need to have listened to it to be able to follow tonight's sermon. It was a little weird to do that series because we started Lent and I decided I want to do a series on the Lord's Supper, on Holy Communion. It's one of my favorite things to talk about as a pastor, always has been. Now, we started it, now it's kind of customary that during midweek Lenten services, you do Vespers, which is just a prayer service. There's no communion. So it's already going to be a little bit weird that we were talking about communion, but then not having communion in the service after I talked about it. Then COVID-19 came, and not only were we not having communion on Wednesday nights, we weren't having it on Sunday either. So that all kind of culminates in tonight, which is Maundy Thursday, Holy Thursday. You heard the traditional epistle, Paul's telling of the words of institution, of what happened on that night that our Lord was betrayed, how he took bread and the cup of wine, gave it to his disciples, told them to eat and to drink. We also heard tonight of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. So these are the two kind of things we often hear about on Maundy Thursday. Jesus gives his disciples his body and blood, and he washes his people, his disciples' feet. After washing their feet, later on in John 13, Jesus would say to his disciples, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another." A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said. And that's where we get the word Maundy from. Maundy Thursday. Because the Latin word for command is mandatum. And so Maundy Thursday is literally commandment Thursday. On this night, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment. And he gave them a new testament. It was the night of new things that Jesus was giving to his disciples. But they weren't so much new as they were an illumination, an expanding, a growing upon what had been done previously. Because there was no shortage of ritual washings in Israel and in the life of the people in the Old Testament. But now Jesus comes and talks about a new command, that you wash one another, that you show love and care and compassion for one another. It's not the only new thing he gives them. We go back to Holy Communion. He says, "This cup is the new testament in my blood." In our ESV, we heard tonight, he said covenant. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Now, both of those are words that we don't use every day. Those of you who are used to hearing me preach know that sometimes I say, okay, we got to kind of look at some of the words we use all the time, the real churchy words that are words we only use in church. You don't ever use the word covenant or testament outside of church. So what do those words mean? Well, a covenant, we especially find this all throughout the Old Testament, was a promise, and God was always making promises. I mean, he made a promise with Adam and Eve that he would provide a savior for them. He made a promise to Cain that no one would be able to kill him because he would be marked. He made a promise to Noah that he would never flood the earth with water again. He made a promise to Israel that they would be a great nation, first to Abraham and then Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's descendants. A covenant was a promise that was sealed with blood. So, for example, when God made the promise to Adam and Eve that he would provide a savior for them, there was the shedding of blood. He killed an animal to take its skin and make garments for them. When Abraham was told to sacrifice his son Isaac, it wasn't his son Isaac that was sacrificed. Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." And he did. He provided a ram to be the sacrifice. There's all these sacrifices throughout the Old Testament. We heard about the Passover, the sacrificing of the lamb. Well, the mark of a covenant was that it was sealed with blood. That shedding of blood meant that it was guaranteed. You could not back out of this. This had to be done because it's sealed with blood. The other word that we're maybe more familiar with, or that you hear when we say the words of institution in church, is testament. Now, the only other place you might use that word is if you're talking about a last will and testament. The word testament implies that it's legally binding. If I leave a last will and testament and I say, I'm going to give this stuff to Bella, I'm going to give this stuff to Paul, and this stuff to Sophia, there's nothing that can change it if it's in my will. Of course, if their mom's still alive, she's getting everything first. A testament is legally binding. A testament can't be undone. So Jesus comes, and now he stands as the bridge between the old covenant, the Old Testament, and now a new covenant and new testament. The old promise that was legally binding and marked with blood, and the new testament, the new promise that is legally binding and marked with blood. In fact, we call the two parts of our Bible the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the Old Promise that was legally binding and marked with blood, and the New Testament. The New Promise, legally binding and also marked with blood. Of course, that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is found in the cup. I want you to stop for a minute tonight and think on the impact of Paul's words. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is the new testament in my blood. And I want you to think of all that background, all of the sacrifices, all of the promises of the Old Testament, everything that had led forward to Jesus in that place. The promise, the sacrifice, the salvation, it's all right there in the cup. The cup is the New Testament. Those are Paul's own words, Jesus' words that Paul records for us. The cup, the supper, the sacrament, this meal is the salvation of God's people. And if you read Jesus' words in Matthew's gospel, he tells you, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Now you might be thinking, whoa, communion, yeah, it's a great thing, but we're forgiven because Jesus died on the cross. We're forgiven because God sent him to be our Savior. We're forgiven because of faith. We're not forgiven because of communion. Well, if you disagree, take it up with Jesus. They're his words. This cup is the New Testament. You and I find salvation in Holy Communion, because we find the New Testament, the sacrifice, the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, who was given and shed for us. You see, what happens in Holy Communion is God takes everything that Jesus was about to accomplish, starting on Maundy Thursday, going into Good Friday, his rest on the tomb on Saturday, and his resurrection on Easter, all of that was about to happen, he delivers it right there in the cup, in the meal, in the sacrament. Again, Jesus' words, not mine. So understandably, this has been a difficult time for us as a church to not be able to have this meal. Some churches have tried to get real creative with it. They're having people take bread and wine or even grape juice, which we don't use grape juice because we know Jesus used wine. They're having them take these things in their homes and the pastor blesses the things over the internet or something of the sort. That's not Holy Communion, because in communion is the word community coming together. You can't have a communion in your own home any more than I can make you a meal, but then I say, here's the ingredients, take it home and make it yourself. That's not me giving you a meal. That's do it yourself. We are God's children, and as his children, we need to be fed. We're not being fed like we're used to right now. Kind of explain kind of what this time is sort of like for us. And I've been kind of reflecting on this because I know a number of you have really, really enjoyed this, coming and sitting in your cars or being on Facebook. And it is wonderful that technology has allowed us to deliver God's word in such a way. But don't be mistaken. As soon as all this COVID-19 stuff passes, we are going to be back in there and we are going to be at the altar, eating Jesus' body and drinking his blood. That's where we belong. And here's kind of how I was thinking through it. Let me explain it to you this way. A father is meant to feed his children. Right? That's one of the duties of a father, to make sure his children are fed. Now, as a father myself, I can feed my children. I could, every morning, give each of them a sleeve of soda crackers, saltines, and say, that's your food for the day. And that will suffice. It will feed them. I mean, they can live off of it. But every now and then, I don't feed my kids saltine crackers for their meals, unless it's with a bowl of soup or chili or something. But every now and then, I'll pull out the stops and I'll make them a really big meal, a really big breakfast or a really big dinner with their favorite foods. And I'll be in the kitchen for a couple hours and I'll get all the things I know they like. There's a bunch of different ways that a father can feed his children, and all of it is being fed, but they're not all the same. Is God feeding us right now? Of course he is. But this, what we're doing right now, it's a little bit like living off saltines. We're being fed. God's giving us what we need. But in the supper, in the body and blood, he gives us salvation. I mean, is he saving us through the word we hear now in our cars and on Facebook and through our internet browsers and our phones and our car radios? Yes, that word saves. But we have a God who delights in coming to his people in the most amazing, intimate of ways. Because you see, what happens in Holy Communion is what happened there on Good Friday, on Easter morning. God takes it and he puts it in your mouth and he puts it in your body for you to live off of. And he does it as you're surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ who share in that same salvation with you. You see, tomorrow we'll celebrate Good Friday. But Holy Communion is where we eat Good Friday and drink Good Friday. It's where what Jesus did upon the cross is delivered to us, for us to taste, smell, touch, along with hearing. All our senses are involved. in how God saves his people. So my hope is that through all of this, though thanks be to God, he has fed us, not with Holy Communion over these last few weeks, and probably not for a few more weeks yet. The hope is that during this time, we as God's people will work up a hunger for what he gives us there. How he comes to us and delivers us salvation in such a magnificent way. And when I say us, I mean that intentionally. Us. Not just salvation for me, Matt, or for you in your car, for you and your family. Us. God's people together. You see, Holy Communion is how God takes Good Friday and stretches it across the expanse of time 2,000 years ago into our present and delivers it to us right here and now. Thanks be to God for this tremendous gift. Thanks be to God that he's given us this opportunity to reflect on what a treasure it is to eat Christ's body and drink his blood. Thanks be to God that this cup, this meal, this sacrament is the New Testament. It is the New Covenant. It is Jesus for you. Amen.